Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Memory Lane is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features furniture, jewelry, sports memorabilia, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved decor, pictures and paintings, and so much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson in the Gateway Shopping Center.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
I don't think there's much dispute that Franklin, in terms of the philosophical questions he's engaged in, was the most celebrated of the American founders. If you look at the depth and the complexity of his writings, that demonstrates that.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. And that's Dr. Kevin Slack, Associate Professor of Politics at Hillsdale College and author of Benjamin Franklin, Natural Right and the Art of Virtue. We conclude our three-part series on Benjamin Franklin with Dr. Slack, who joins us now. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Scott.
Talking Benjamin Franklin, we've discussed him as an Enlightenment philosopher, we've discussed him as moral lawgiver, and in this final part of the trilogy, we'll talk about Franklin as statesman. Now, Franklin's public career spans multiple decades: councilman, diplomat, representative, governor. How would you describe his statesmanship, and how did it evolve over time?
Well, I think in one sense, you have to look at Franklin's participation in politics indirectly as a newspaperman and as a journalist. So in the 1720s and the 30s, he's writing about political issues. He's taking sides on political issues. He has patron Andrew Hamilton or Logan. These are prominent politicians in Pennsylvania. So in the paper, for example, he's focusing on questions of colonial politics. For example, and he had come from Boston, we find criticisms of the Massachusetts colony, for example, in 1729, a criticism of the governors there, their desire for a fixed salary as opposed to being determined by the legislature, or also the swearing in or the swearing to instructions whereby they would hold to certain instructions from back in Britain. This is, of course, an important fact for those in Pennsylvania, where the proprietors would bind the governor to instructions later on. Probably one of the more important events, and I think this is a good example of statesmanship, is where Franklin helps to form the Association, which was an extra-legal militia during King George's War. He writes a paper called Plain Truth. It was quite popular. And in it, he argues that because the Quaker Assembly was not levying money for the defense of the province, that the middling men would have to, the artisans would have to act on their own to form this militia to protect their life, liberty, and property. I tell the students that there's a frequent criticism of social contract theory as being this complete abstraction, but it was not an abstraction for Franklin. Quite literally, there's a proposal for the unification of these various groups, the Germans, the Irish, and other groups, to join for the protection of life, liberty, and property.
Dr. Slack, what happens, or how does Benjamin Franklin's political career begin?
This participation in the Association that launches Franklin's political career. He'd been somewhat political as the clerk of the Assembly since 1736, but he's actually elected as an assemblyman in 1751 and would be so all the way until 1764. And as an assemblyman, he becomes one of the key leaders of the Quaker Popular Party. And there he's going to, as a statesman, try to apply certain principles to political issues. For example, in the raising of defense. So when we when we get to the French and Indian War beginning in 1754 to 1763, Franklin is going to use his influence with the Quaker Party to try to lobby for raising money for the defense of the province. He's successful, and yet he faces resistance from the governors. The governors were bound by instructions to veto any of these bills to raise money for defense. We're doing so, Franklin believed, because they wanted to weaken the Quaker Party. And so Franklin is going to apply these different theories, natural law, natural rights, and so on, to argue for a strong legislature that could control the expenditures that it was raising for its own defense. He was eventually sent as a representative of the assembly to Britain in 1757, and there he would stay and ultimately would argue that the proprietary government needed to be disbanded altogether, and that they would petition for Pennsylvania to become a royal colony in 1764. And it's while he's in Britain that he begins to participate in some of the imperial debates in the defense of the colonies, particularly against the Stamp Act and some of these other revenue measures.
Is he explicit? You mentioned him arguing for a strong legislature. Is he explicit in some way about what kind of government he thinks is best?
I think for Franklin the core idea is that the free government is best. Mm-hmm. So as a young man, as working as a printer under his brother, he would print Henry Kerr's English Liberties on the English subject's inheritance. And this is celebrating all the liberties that the colonists at least are claiming from their English inheritance. And so for Franklin, the most important thing was natural rights and the rights that you possessed. If you could not possess them under the English Constitution or under the Pennsylvania Charter, then you could appeal outside of those two to natural rights. Franklin does explicitly endorse the rule by consent, and I would say through most of his life. He uses a social contract argument in the late 1720s and the 1730s. Probably the best example of Franklin's defense of representative government, you know, and you go back to the social contract theory where you're in the position of a slave if your property is taken from you without your consent, is Franklin's letters to William Shirley in 1754. And in a series of three letters, he begins by saying that, well, you know, representation is not necessary, but it may be useful. And then over the course of the letters, he gives the strongest argument for representative government and consent. And so he's defending representative government as the best means to protect the liberties and thereby the end of government.
So all this we've talked about sounds like would make Franklin a natural and strong defender of American independence.
Definitely. Somebody who has an American identity, and there's many scholars that have written about the formation of an American identity, or at least an identity for Pennsylvanians in the 1720s and 30s. Franklin is ridiculing those who are constantly praising the British in the Pennsylvania Gazette in the early 1730s. And so he is identifying with the Americans. He connects this to a British Whiggism, even in his early Silence Do Good essays. But he would become himself a product of Philadelphia. He has this wonderful phrase in 1755 where he says, "Pennsylvania is my darling." And so by his own ambition, he attaches himself to these political orders as they change. And that's part of Franklin being a statesman, is trying to figure out what's best for the people that he sees himself as being attached to.
As we come to the conclusion of our Franklin discussions here with Dr. Kevin Slack, I'll ask, I don't know if I want to ask you to rank American founders, but where do you see Benjamin Franklin? Where did he fit among the American founders?
I see Franklin as being the greatest of the American founders. He's usually listed as one of the two indispensable men for the American Revolution, right? There's Benjamin Franklin and George Washington. Certainly both of them indispensable. Franklin is the one who secured the arms that allowed the colonists to defeat the British. And then when I look at Franklin in terms of shaping the American character as being at least an expression or representative of it, I see him being the greatest of the American founders, certainly as a philosopher. I don't I don't think there's much dispute that Franklin, in terms of the philosophical questions he's engaged in, was the most celebrated of the American founders. If you look at the depth and the complexity of his writings, that demonstrates that. But then you also have the idea of Franklin as a moral lawgiver, somebody who's able to lay out a certain list of virtues and to be able to teach those virtues and to shape the character of the American and how Americans understood themselves.
Dr. Kevin Slack, Associate Professor of Politics at Hillsdale College and also author of Benjamin Franklin, Natural Right and the Art of Virtue, as we discuss Franklin as statesman. Dr. Slack, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Up next, we talk with Kurt Schlichter. He's the author of the new book, We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Hi, this is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. The price of gas and diesel is crippling budgets of North State families, farms, and small businesses. California's taxes and fees add about $1.12 to the price of every gallon. The Biden administration's policy of canceling the Keystone Pipeline has made problems worse, as well as the stoppage of lease sales on federal lands and permits, and enacting even more choking regulations. Result? Prices skyrocketing while Biden asks Saudi Arabia for more foreign oil. We will keep working in Congress for common sense solutions to reduce costs and make us energy independent by using the plentiful energy sources available right here in North America. My office exists to serve you. My website is lamalfa.house.gov or go to my Facebook under Rep. LaMalfa for the latest updates, where you can also take my poll on American energy. This is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Thanks for listening. Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a new state with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. You can find out more about Hillsdale College if you're a prospective student, a graduate, or a friend of Hillsdale. Check out hillsdale.edu. We're joined now by Kurt Schlichter. He is a senior columnist for townhall.com, also a Los Angeles trial lawyer, and you can find him on Twitter at Kurt Schlichter. You can read his previous books, too, like The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You, or you can read the brand new book, which is We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. Kurt, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You write early in this book, which is about the present and future of the country, that Rome, we'll go into the history books here, Rome is not a template, but it is a useful example of the challenges and phases of a superpower. So what should we and can we learn from Rome?
Oh, my gosh. So a host who's actually looked at the book. it's awesome. We can learn a lot. Now, Rome is not a is not an identical map. It's a good analog because at the macro level. And what happened to Rome is an example not only of civilization, but of human nature manifested through politics and culture. So it's important to look back. And keep in mind, the founders looked back at Rome, and they took what they saw as the best of Rome, including the checks and balances, because, of course, Rome had, you know, two consuls. It had the Senate. It had the People's Assembly. It had a variety of officers. So they kind of pioneered that, and the founders looked back and said, well, you know, and they were very well educated. Everybody, look, back in the olden days for the founders, everybody got a Hillsdale like it. So I do talk about Rome, and I think it is very useful. Of course, Rome is famous in large part because it fell. But what does falling mean? Because if you look at Rome, the locus of Rome actually moved to Byzantium and then called Constantinople, now called Istanbul, and for another 1,000 years, since the traditional fall of Rome in 476, it still functioned and called itself Rome. So did Rome fall or did it change? And that's one of the issues I explore. Is America going to fall in the sense we stop being America, or is it going to change into something that's, you know, recognizable as what we see as America now, or more importantly, what would have been seen 246 years ago? Or is it going to morph into something good or bad?
Talk more about that in a little bit. Early in the new book, too, you say that what we most need to understand is that for the left, there is no bottom. The struggle is the work. There will always be struggle. There will always be more. How should that affect our thoughts?
If you're looking at the idea of governance, what is governance to create the best environment for the most people? Is it supposed to create a good environment where decent people can thrive? Is it supposed to create a system where a certain elite has nearly total power and is able to essentially loot the society? The latter is what the left thinks. The left's metric is not prosperity. It's not security. It's not, certainly not morality, not in any, you know, recognizable sense. It is purely the aggregation and use of power and wealth for the benefit of, you know, for lack of a better phrase, the ruling caste. And that's why there's no bottom, because you look at Venezuela, and they're literally eating zebras.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If your people are eating zebras, and you believe that government's purpose is, in general, and I'm being very general, to create security and prosperity for the citizens, you're going to do something. You're going to change course because they're eating zebras at the zoo. Okay, that's a problem. It's not a problem in Venezuela, and why not? Because it doesn't matter if people are eating zebras if you're retaining power and wealth as part of the ruling class or caste.
Kurt Schlichter with us. The book, We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. On the issue of the Supreme Court, we just had multiple rulings from the Supreme Court that the left had some slight disagreements with. It went from being the executor of all the hopes and dreams of the left to enemy of the state in about 3 months.
Executing all the hopes and dreams of the left.
That's right. That's right.
Look, the left pushed through its insanity. It'll tell you all its stuff is popular. But if you go to normal people and say, I'd like to have an educational system where your blue-haired, pierced kids teacher talks about her sexual experiences and your child's sexual identity. Normal people are going to, you know, take the guy's temperature and then some of the guys with the butterfly net and the straitjacket. Okay? They're just not going to buy it. So you want to use, if you're them, you want to use the courts to get around it, to make an end run against creating some sort of public consensus. And they did that for a long time. But what we did is we saw that, and over 50 years, we slowly and surely used the political system to change the position of the court to people who agreed with us. Now, I'm a trial lawyer in real life. And I always, you know, people are always, well, you know, a judge shouldn't have political beliefs and they should just work off the Constitution. I say, yeah, that's cute. The first thing I do when I get a federal lawsuit is look at the judge and figure out who appointed him or her. That's what I do. So with that understanding, we create a court that sees the world the way we see it.
Kurt, the center of the book concerns what happens after this fuse is lit, as you say, and we'll be back. And there are options. They are not recommended, but there is sort of role-playing. Or how would this go when it comes to a national divorce or a second civil war from a blue rebellion to a red revolution? What I want to ask about this is what we see now with essentially the sorting that is happening in America, with people who want to be in blue states moving there, people who prefer to be in red states moving there. Is this sorting that's happening a way to head off the possibility of separation in some way?
I certainly hope so. And you look at the system, people complaining about it, and you kind of go, well, gosh, if we only had some sort of, I don't know, federal system where sovereign states ran themselves in their own way.
Yes, yes.
And people could choose. That would be, you know, a great pressure release valve. The problem is leftism, for lack of a better word, and I'm throwing in all the CRT stuff and just the whole woke leftist socialist nonsense. That whole thing. It's a pseudo-religion. Normal people have a faith inside them that's filled with, you know, God, filled with faith of some sort. Broken leftist people have nothing, so it fills up with nonsense. But they see this in a religious way. It is a complete with heretics and blasphemers who must be burned at the stake, figuratively or literally. And it's very hard for them from California to allow someone in Oklahoma to live differently. They can't leave it alone. It's like the old saying about the Puritans. They live with a nagging feeling somehow, somewhere. People are enjoying themselves.
Yeah. Kurt Schlichter is with us. His book is We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. We'll talk more with Kurt in just a moment. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California.
This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
Many parents are discovering that their children are being exposed to transgender transitioning without their knowledge. Parents in Pennsylvania and in California have filed federal lawsuits just for this reason. Pacific Justice Institute has helped countless parents who've had their rights violated.
We rely on your generous support to continue to provide justice for all. Learn more at pji.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Join the Cascade Theater for an energy-packed show with Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue on August 6th. Packed with funk, soul, R&B, and psychedelic rock, Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue is sure to provide an exhilarating evening packed with a strong rhythm section, hip-hop beats, and bright flashes of brass with hard rock energy. Don't miss this fun night with Trombone Shorty at the Cascade Theater on August 6th. Tickets available at cascadetheater.org or 243-8877.
Back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We've been talking with Kurt Schlichter. He's the author of the new book, We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. Kurt, one of the threats you mention is not internal at all, but external. You have an entire chapter on the threat from China. And though you don't argue it should be take it as a serious threat, you say early on in that chapter, too, that China today is somewhat analogous to Japan in the 80s. How do you think that is so?
Well, if you remember in the 80s, and I'm not sure how old you are, but I'm ancient. I'm not Joe Biden, but I'm old. In the 80s, Japan was going to take over everything.
Mm-hmm.
They were crushing our big three car companies. Sony bought Columbia Pictures, if you can believe it. You know, they were prosperous, they're rich, and today they are a dying culture. China is a tough foe. China is a great civilization with a remarkable history and a remarkable pride in it. It's also suffered grave humiliation, which is a recipe for danger. So is the fact that they killed off, through their one China policy, a significant percentage of their young girls, meaning there are more young males than there are potential brides.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have bored young males, you have problems. I know. I was an infantry command. As an Army officer, your whole, you know, a huge part of what you do is focusing and controlling the inherent instability and potential violence of young males. If you harness it, you become a powerful fighting force. If you fail to harness it with discipline, you become a pack of ravenous butchers. And that's very dangerous. But China is not some sort of, it's not the Ernst Stavros Blofeld of superpowers. You know, in its volcano lair, you know, moving the levers of power as it strokes a flat path. It has a lot of big problems, some of which I just mentioned. It also has the economic problem of trying to stick the round peg in of the free market mm-hmm. into the square hole of communist totalitarianism. That's a problem, too. China made a deal. Give up your potential for freedom. And Chinese know what freedom is now, because they're not the hidden kingdom anymore. They are exposed to the rest of the world. A huge number of them are trained in American colleges. They know what freedom is. But China, Red China offers them a choice. Give up some of your so-called freedom, we'll give you prosperity. What if China goes back on the deal by failing to provide the prosperity? Then you've got very angry people. And that's a problem. That's instability that we don't necessarily have.
You say also that cultural issues are devastating to the left. That is not a sentence that would have been written, say, I don't know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, with any sort of certainty, because, of course, demographics are destiny. That's what the left said back then. Now that we know that Hispanic voters are trending toward the Republican side of the aisle, that what happened to the left to change that trajectory they were counting on here in the future?
The culture war issue was downplayed by establishment Republicans because it made them uncomfortable, and it made them uncomfortable socially. You go to, you know, who wants to go to a cocktail party at the country club? You know, if you're the typical Republican, the stereotypical Republican would be, you know, the local Buick dealership owner, right? He's got a little bit of money. He employs a lot of people, goes to the country club, and does he want to be hassled by, you know, somebody's second wife because he's not sufficiently supportive of abortion? No, he doesn't need that in his life. He'd much rather talk about lowering tax rates. I'd much rather talk about confronting the Russians. The reason that the social issues were we were told the social issues were to get to the Republicans is because the guys who we expected to get on them didn't want to, for the reasons I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
That has changed. It is now so, the attack on our culture is so overwhelming. You know, when you have drag queen story hour, okay, all bets are off. You don't get to talk your way out of that. Okay, that's got to be stopped. And these cultural issues are actually the issues that really control our lives, and that includes things like open borders, mm-hmm. crime, what's being taught in school. That affects normal people's lives. And Donald Trump was the only guy who would talk about them. You know, and it's so improbable. You have this real estate developer who had been a Democrat for a lot, certainly friends with a lot of Democrats, a TV guy, reading tweets and all, and he's the only guy talking about the things people are really concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Those darn people. Like, who was it said we should fire the people and get a new one? Trump actually showed it was possible to be responsive to what the base cared about. And now the Republicans have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's the political market. Other people now see, oh, my gosh, I can score this way, too. So the Republican Party has moved kicking and screaming towards being responsive to what are called cultural issues, but they're really just issues that are important to our daily lives. And a huge new part of the base are our Latinx voters, who would never advance through American Dream and become middle class, but would always be Democrat constituents and clients. And I think client, in the Roman sense, is actually very, very apt.
Mm-hmm.
Hispanic Americans, they're interested in getting ahead. They're interested in faith and family and patriotism and in capitalism. And here's what, even if you have concerns about illegal immigration, which I do, I'm a deport them all guy. But let's look at this. The vast majority of people coming across that border are risking the danger of the desert, of cartels, of law enforcement to some extent, to come and work at low-paying jobs to send money home to their families. This is an energy that naturally goes to what the Republican Party should be.
Final quick question for Kurt Schlichter, author of We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. The book ends with a pair of chapters. Who will carry the banner and the decision point 2024? 2024, of course, will be an important election. They all are these days, and there are many possible candidates. I don't even want to talk about specific candidates. I want you, Kurt, to tell me, what is the job description of the candidate, of the nominee, of the president who wins in 2024?
Wow, that is probably the best question I've been asked in dozens of appearances. And I would like I would have to take a half hour to properly formulate an answer. But the job description includes somebody who knows what time it is, who understands the nature of the struggle, and is willing to face it. And when I talk about the nature of the struggle, I talk about restoring ourselves to something like the constitutional vision that we were bequeathed by the founders. You know, the answers are all there. They're in the Constitution. We just got to do that. And of course, I'm simplifying a little. But, you know, we really have a great advantage. And it's a proven pathway to success if it's actually used. But we need a president who understands we're in a fight, who doesn't try and hide the conflict with a bunch of cliches about unity. I don't want unity. As Dennis Prager says, I want clarity.
Mm-hmm.
I want to choose. Are you going to choose a world of institutionalized racism and ethnic division like CRT promises, or are you going to choose the America we grew up with? Right now, you go to a store, you're not going to find baby food. You're not going to find tampons. I did a speaking gig. They said, hey, we'd like to add more people, but we can't. I said, what, is their venue being obnoxious? No, they can't get chicken breast.
Mm.
America has not been unable to supply chicken breast since World War II rationing. Yet now that happens, it isn't too much to demand that America not be worse than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I demand it be better. And what they're selling, nobody wants it. The American people aren't going to take it. I think I'm optimistic. We're going to say, no, we choose freedom. We choose prosperity. God bless America.
Kurt Schlichter, the book is We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. You can also read him over at townhall.com, where he is senior columnist, and follow him on Twitter at Kurt Schlichter. Kurt, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hey, thanks.
Up next, we talk with Dr. Christopher Bush from Hillsdale's English Department as he returns to continue his series on What a Catholic. We talk about our frontier themes. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Owens is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Owens provides top quality respiratory products and services throughout the North State and Northern Nevada. Products include oxygen therapy featuring the small and portable oxygen concentrators, CPAP machines, and a team focused specifically on providing ongoing CPAP supplies to help you get the best sleep possible. Owens has been in business since 1979 and has been Joint Commission accredited since 2003, allowing them to care for patients in our community when they need them the most. Contact Owens at 1-800-MY-OWENS. That's 1-800-696-9367.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring electronic products and services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
You know, quite a number of stories and poems, and had been really involved in editorial work for a number of years. And then she met a writer named Sarah Orne Jewett. And Sarah Orne Jewett is one of what we call our local color writers. The local color tradition was a kind of regional literary tradition, and Jewett wrote beautiful, beautiful stories and novels about fishing villages in Maine, which is where she lived. And they're some of the most beautiful, quiet depictions of character and setting that I've read. And so Willa Cather met Sarah Orne Jewett. And her and Jewett's advice to Cather was, find your own quiet center of life and write from there. And really, that was probably the encouragement that Willa Cather needed. And to paraphrase Cather, at one point she said, life began for me when I ceased to admire and began to remember. And I think what, Jewett's advice to her, and then, in a sense, kind of the permission to get that retrospective gaze that is so much a part of her literature, of her writing, I think really made, opened up the place for her voice. And so after that, she had published a novel, in 1912, called Alexander's Bridge, and she wasn't, entirely happy with that one. But then she kind of hit her stride after that and published O Pioneers, and then Song of the Lark, and then My Antonia, which is one of her masterpieces. So those are kind of three Western novels that, mm-hmm. that she she put together at that point.
What was it about that frontier lifestyle that captured Cather's attention? She was born in Virginia, moved to Nebraska at a young age. What was it about what she found there that made it so important for her?
I think it was her own personal experience. The frontier that Cather knew was a place of, in her mind, was a place of freedom. There was physical freedom. There was, there were immigrants from many countries who were living there in that area of Nebraska that's called the Divide between two rivers. And so she would get on her pony, and she would ride all around in the afternoon and stop at the houses of people from, you know, there were Germans, there were Russians, there were people from Bohemia, which is now Czech Republic. And so so there were people, it was as if her whole world was kind of expanding there. And so I think the thing about the frontier, I think that Cather really understood, is that the frontier is really, it's America's mythic experience. That when we think about what was the great adventure of America in the 19th century in particular, and it was the settling of the frontier. And I think she really felt that, she felt the energy of that. She felt the youthful nation that was expanding. And for her, that was a great adventure. We even see, it's interesting, in the beginning of My Antonia, she talks about the wine-colored grasses. And some of your listeners might recognize in that the wine-dark sea of Homer. And so I think what Cather is doing is she's very consciously taking the great epic tradition and the great Western tradition, and she's attaching her own work to that. And so I think the frontier was a time of great adventure, a time of great freedom and expression of the American character.
Talking with Dr. Christopher Bush about Willa Cather. You mentioned the series of three books she writes, sometimes referred to as the Prairie Trilogy. Do we see her writing evolve over this time?
It does, yes. O Pioneers is a very fine novel, I think. Deals with Swedish immigrants, and one of her kind of characteristic figures is a very strong, independent woman, Alexandra Bergson. And it tells a story of how she settles, gets her farm and builds it up. And she really is the heroine in so many ways of that story. And then she goes on to Song of the Lark. And we have in O Pioneers, we have the interest in the strong woman figure in the frontier, in farming. And then Song of the Lark, Thea Kronborg is the main character. They're another strong woman figure, but she's an artist. She starts out wanting to play the piano and then discovers her voice. And so she's dealing with art. And then we also have some of the Southwest coming in there that we'll talk about maybe a little bit later. How does her work grow? My Antonia, it really, I think, supersedes both of those. It the language is lyrical. The scenes that she describes, I think, are just almost painterly. They're just so beautiful, and there is a depth to that. My Antonia was based on the character Antonia is based on a woman that she knew when she was growing up, and so you can just there's tremendous life likeness in that. But I think really that we see her full power at that point in her as a writer, mm-hmm. in My Antonia.
Willa Cather also frequently writes about old age. How does she address the topic? Does she evoke this feeling of nostalgia? Does that play a major work in some of her writings?
You know, I think, Scott, that I would say that her tone is often elegiac. That the past has kind of the golden glow of afternoon in Cather's fiction so often. The end of My Antonia ends, you know, basically whatever we had missed, we possessed together the precious, the incommunicable past. And I think a great deal of her focus is on retrospective, is kind of looking backward. But old age, I was thinking about that a little bit. Old age is addressed really squarely in two stories. They're later stories from a collection called Obscure Destinies. And the first one is called Old Mrs. Harris, and it's about a woman who's living with her daughter and granddaughter. It's a kind of semi-autobiographical again, but I think there's a real kind of sadness to that story, and that story ends with a reflection that when the young characters get older, they'll remember and they'll look back. And there will be some recognition that maybe they should have paid a bit more attention to Mrs. Harris, to the grandmother. But if we look at another story in that collection, which is called A Neighbor Rosicki, there we have a depiction of really the beauty of a life well lived.
Dr. Christopher Bush, professor of English at Hillsdale College, talking about Willa Cather. Will return for our third part of the series, talking about her two masterpieces, My Antonia and Death Comes for the Archbishop. Dr. Bush, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Kevin Slack as we conclude our three-part series on Benjamin Franklin. We also talk with Kurt Schlichter. He's the author of the new book, We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America. And Dr. Christopher Bush from Hillsdale's English Department on Willa Cather and the Frontier. You can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, and iHeart. Search for the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Follow us on Twitter at Hillsdale Radio or find us on Facebook. Email the show at radiohour@hillsdale.edu. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Axiom Children's Theater invites you to journey under the sea with Ariel and her aquatic friends in Disney's The Little Mermaid Jr. Adapted from Disney's Broadway production and motion picture featuring the enormously popular Academy Award-winning music and lyrics. Don't miss The Little Mermaid Jr. July 28th through the 30th at Axiom Repertory Theater, 2613 Bocelli Lane in Reading. Get your tickets now at the box office or online at axreftheater.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's
Tap House. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.